Hey, come on in, or come on out, actually, to the outdoor living hour of Rosie on the House. Just finished a wonderful hour with travel writer Roger Naylor. If you missed it, go back and catch it on podcast. It'll make you want to get outside and play. But today we're going to get out and work in the garden. And we have our resident master gardener, Jay Harper, in studio with us this morning. He's always there to watch our backs in the garden hour because Rosie and we have great intentions.
Why is it playing when you're hiking and working when you're gardening?
Yeah. Am I wrong? Well, I guess it depends on your...
Well, if you want more people to garden, you don't call it work.
Okay. Well, thank you for that.
I do love
being in the garden.
If you have a question about your lawn or garden, you know the lines are open at 1-888-767-4348. We'll take any calls about any questions you've got in regards to your lawn, garden, trees, or hedges with John Jay and a special guest.
We have Ms. Joyce Reichner of Oro Valley. She's the education coordinator, there it is, of the Oro Valley Historical Society. And we met Joyce when we went to Oro Valley for the Historical Society conference, and she was at the Steam Pump Ranch down in the Heritage Garden, and we were just intrigued, so we invited her to come on this morning with us. Good morning, Joyce.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
We were walking the garden, walking the property, and you were doing a presentation in the garden. There was the archaeologist doing the presentation about throwing the atlatl. Atlatl. Mm-hmm. I love saying that word. Atlatl. And I thought, Jennifer, we've got to get these people on air. So thank you so much for making the drive up from Tucson to join us today.
Thank you. I'm really looking forward to it.
You're there at the Steam Pump Ranch, which is a property the town of Oro Valley has purchased.
Yes, yes. The Steam Pump Ranch is this beautiful oasis right in the heart of Oro Valley. And it's located right underneath the Santa Catalina Mountains, and it's got the Cañada de Oro wash there, and it's actually the historic birthplace of Oro Valley. A German immigrant came there in 1874 named George Push, and the mountain, Push Ridge, is named after him. And he sunk a well, he hand dug a well, and powered it with one of the only steam pumps in the state of Arizona. It was mesquite-fueled, and he brought the water up, and then it became really a center, a gathering place for all the cattle ranchers, the stagecoach, the military. Everybody went to Old Steam Pump Ranch, and the Oro Valley Historical Society and the town of Oro Valley and others worked really hard to preserve that 15-acre property, and we've been working hard to restore it and bring the community there and work on programs, and we are continuing to make it a beautiful place.
Now, is it open to the public at regular hours, or did we just get to tour it as a part of attending that historic conference?
Well, it is open to the public, but we have regular programs on every second Saturday. There's also a farmer's market every Saturday from 9 to 12. And then we have special events. The town of Oro Valley puts on harvest festivals. We have Settlers' Day festivals, all kinds of amazing events, which are seasonal. But we are working, we do give tours of the historic restored Push House, and that is on second Saturdays.
We were fortunate. The weekend we were there, I think it was actually a great-granddaughter of the Pushes was actually the docent there giving us a tour of the house she remembered as a child.
That's right. That's right. That was Barbara McIntyre. And we do our best to, we had funds to, in the beginning, to restore the entire property. But then with the recession came, the funds were turned back to the state. And so we only had enough funds to restore the Push House. So there's many other buildings on the property. But the Push House is fully restored. And we do have tours there with the Oro Valley Historical Society. We do art shows, children's art shows, community art shows, and things like that.
Now, John Jay, I know you've driven by the ranch a million times. Had you ever pulled in?
No.
Never did?
No. Yeah. Shame on me, but I have not.
Well, now that you're on the road a lot more, you'll have occasion to get down there. You've got to pull in and see Joyce's garden.
I'm going to make a point of it. Absolutely.
Good. Well, I love it when other gardeners come and visit because it's a lot of fun. A lot of fun.
So how do you carve out this historic property, an idea, to do a garden?
Well, because the funds to restore the entire property were returned and we weren't able to access them, I've been a gardener all my life, and I thought, well, you know, restoring buildings is one part of preservation, but there was always plants and landscaping. So let's do a garden and do preservation through a garden. And there's a master plan to have all kinds of gardens, a territorial garden, a historic rose garden, pioneer garden, and also some Spanish colonial trees. But I started with the Native American Heritage Garden, and that is what's called a Three Sisters Garden.
And I remembered that.
You remember.
I remembered that. And the concept of the Three Sisters.
The concept of the Three Sisters is what all Native American tribes in North America and Central America use, is a combination of corn or maize, beans, and squash. And they work together to help each other grow. And they've been growing for ancient many, many years. And different tribes use different kinds of varieties. But the corn, you plant the corn first, and then after about, it gets to be about 6 inches, you plant your bean in the same mound. And then the corn acts as a stalk, so the bean can grow up the stalk. And then you plant your squash, and that will grow and provide a cover and a mulch. And the beans have, the tapere beans is what I grow in particular, have the ability to fix the atmospheric nitrogen in the air. They have nodules on their roots, and that gets the nitrogen to the corn, which is a heavy nitrogen feeder. So they work really well together, and that's why they call them Three Sisters. There were other crops that were grown, sunflower seeds, amaranth, devil's claw, cotton, tobacco. But the Three Sisters were the basic triad. Sometimes I do a lot of children's programs, and sometimes when the boys come in, they go, well, how come it can't be three brothers? And I say, it can be three brothers if you want, but the tradition is Three Sisters.
Well, I remember the concept, and I thought, you know, I just like learning things like that. But, John Jay, I have to tell you, I was shamed by how much I didn't know. I did not know on an ear of corn each kernel needed to be fertilized.
Well, they're all little individual cells, if you want to call it that. And so, and one of the problems they have with corn when it gets too dry, they'll start using the moisture out of each one of those, and they get a little, it's called denting. So when, you know, they can't sell corn commercially once, if it gets too dry or there's not enough moisture, because it's called, you know, it gets dent. So it starts taking the moisture. So each one has its own little moisture reservoir as well.
You talk about how the nitrogen in the root pod of the squash enhances the corn, then you start thinking about the beans, and then the corn ear itself and how it's designed the way it is with all the parts. Talk us through that. I mean, I was like blushing when she was explaining. I never knew that.
Well, the corn plant has a male and a female part, and the male is the tassel, and that's has the pollen. And then the ear of the corn is the female part, and it has silks that come out. And the pollination period is really crucial. And if you have conditions that are not conducive to pollination, then you're not going to have your ears are not going to have a lot of kernels, or you won't get a growing ear at all. So the pollen in the morning, I like to help it. I'll tap the pollen and it'll sprinkle down, and it falls exactly into the silks of the ear. And one silk needs one pollen grain that travels down the tube to the embryo of the kernel, and that forms the kernel. Now, if if the weather is 100, over 100 degrees, the pollen dies, it doesn't work. Or if it's really, really windy, it doesn't work. So that period is very, very important. One of the things that people, maize or corn growers like myself do is we do successive plantings. Like every 2 weeks I'll do another planting. So then you can kind of, make sure that you have different periods where you can have optimal
spread
pollination.
Out the risk.
Yes,
yeah,
and don't you have to have a certain size of, amount of corn to make it work? You can't just buy
one row.
You can't grow one row.
Well, because it needs, because of the pollination process, it's hard. You don't want to plant just a single long row. It needs to be in multiple rows or a clump for best pollination. Yes.
Right. Yeah, and it is wind pollinated, so. That's really important. It's important to have probably at least 100 plants. And John's right. In the kind of corn that I grow, the maize that I grow, ancient maize, it's called chapalote or reventador, you want to have it close together in clumps or, like a grid garden. You can do it like that.
But did you know every kernel needed a piece of pollen?
No, but you've repeated it so many times now to me that I probably never forget.
When you shuck a corn, an ear of corn, and you look at that and you think,
it's amazing.
Who engineered that system?
Exactly. I mean, for me, it's nothing short of a miracle. It's just amazing, and
and the way the husk all open up to the pollen above, so as
exactly.
It falls, it kind of serves its own little trap and its own little funnel, bringing the pollen right into the silk.
Exactly, it's a really amazing design, and maize is one of the ancient crops, and it's been grown in the southern Arizona region for 4,000 years, over 4,000 years. And we have records of that from the archaeological record, in particular from Las Capas.
There's lots. We're gonna come back and talk about all the different areas that we know have been inhabited all through that southern Arizona. We're here with John J. Harper to take your questions and join the conversation about landscaping and gardening. 1-888-767-4348, as well a special guest up from Tucson, Oro Valley, I guess is what you'd rather me say.
Doesn't matter.
Joyce Richner, the education coordinator for the Oro Valley Historic Society. Back in just a minute.